You know, it's amazing the gifts that God places in us. And sometimes those gifts are latent, undiscovered, or until such a time that we respond to God's leading, or we hear something new or see something new. And recently, Rick has done a little bit of writing and did a very, very exciting story. And it was so powerful, I immediately said, I'd like you to share that. And so it wasn't too long ago, actually, but Rick's going to tell you a little bit about it and share the story. It's very moving, and I hope it will change really forever what you see when you come here on a Sunday morning. Here in where children run around through the week and get their exercise, but when we're here and God's here, it's a very different place. Thanks, Rick.
Thanks, Craig. Most people that know me would find it very strange to see me here, knowing how much I talk. Public speaking is really not my thing. I like being behind the scenes, in the shadows, if you will. When Greg asked me to share a little of my spiritual journey in the creation of this story, I was somewhat, well, very hesitant. I did not get back to Greg right away. He sort of cornered me that Sunday and said, you know, are you going to do it? Well, for the last few years, I've been on a bit of a journey to build my people skills. So I figured this may be the next logical step. So, without further ado, here's my testimony. I was 16 when I met her. It was at a teen hangout called the Catacomb. It was a Christian teens hangout, which was strange enough because at that time, I was as far away from God as possible. They had a pool table, a couple pool tables, and a place to get drinks, etc., and all that kind of stuff. And I was actually tricked into playing pool with her. At that time, she was a God-loving, Bible-thumping Christian, and she's the one that led me to Christ. She would tell me stories of things that she saw and that she heard. One thing in particular really stood out in my mind and still does. She told me about one Sunday evening where the pastor stopped mid-sentence, looked intently to one side, and then yelled, "Get out!" The demon was seen by a number of people running down the aisle and out the back door. But by the age of 18, we both have slipped into darkness. It was a downward spiral all the way, but I always knew that Jesus was there with me. And he knew where I was headed. Our relationship ended about 11 years later. She threw me out of her life. And I thought, God, why? But God had a plan for me. He already knew where I was going. Then I met Mish. She reintroduced me to the church. I felt at home again. Then on October 26th, 2000, we arrived here in Ontario, me with a new career, looking for work. I eventually got the job I wanted, but we could not find a new church home. And we started to slip again, this time me and Mish. Then somebody invited us here to Hope. I was reluctant, but we went anyway. That was on October 20th, 2002, the Sunday of the Kingdom Assignment. For anybody that was not there, which is probably quite a few, that was when Brian, the pastor at the time, gave a bunch of people $100 to go grow the money and do good deeds. Just to think, the church giving money back. This amazed me. So we continued going. We had found our church home. And I think in the last 7 years, we have missed 5 or 6 Sundays between us. I am not the type of person to pick up a book and read. The words kind of run away from my eyes. But I read the book, The Shack. It was a real inspiration to me. And after reading the book, I just had to find out if this was fact or fiction. If it was based on truth or just a story that somebody wrote. So I immediately jumped up after reading the last word, went over to my computer, and did a search. I was kind of depressed to find out that it was actually just a story. I sort of said, you know, I felt sort of cheated. But then after a few days of thinking about it and dwelling on it, I said, it doesn't matter. The message was real. Then I remembered saying to myself, I wish I could write like that. That's when it kind of happened to me. It's kind of, I guess you'd almost say quasi-vision. But it happened a little bit each day. Images came to my mind. And at times at the back of the church, the images would be more vivid. And I just had to put it down on paper. On October 31st, 2008, I started to type it out and saved it on my computer. It just sat there. About a month ago, on the way home from work, I had the feeling that I should work on it a bit more. By the time I got home, that feeling was gone. The next day, on the way home, another shove. And again, got home, forgot it. Then a few days later, I just had to work on it. I had no other choice. It was now work on it. I finished my second revision of the story and sent it off to my personal editor, Micheline. She sent it back to me with, of course, a number of spelling mistakes and, of course, corrections. After that, the third revision was created. I felt I had to send it to some people that could critique it. I picked them because I felt they would make an honest assessment of the story. The response I got back really surprised me. Greg emailed me back asking if I would read it here. Randy responded saying there were a number of errors. So knowing Randy, I figured, okay, if he spotted the errors, it's time to get him to tell me what they were, because I wanted this to be a good thing. So I asked him, and he sent me back his revisions, if you will. Of course, Grant also responded. He didn't catch all the errors, by the way. So I looked through the Bible, and I sort of found a verse that matched. And the verse is in Mark 8:18, you have eyes, can't you see? You have ears. Can't you hear? Now the story. It's called The Gift of Sight and Sound. Well, there I was, just standing at the back of the church, where I can usually be found, listening to the sermon. At first, I thought my eyes were playing tricks on me. And that a visit to the optometrist would be a good idea. The words are moving around on me again. I started to see what seemed to be shadows, yet more like a series of lights without a source, moving in and around the congregation. As my eyes became more accustomed to the light, I could see what I could only describe as angelic beings were the actual source of the light. As my eyes became even more focused on what was happening, I could see a large number of these angels roaming in and around the congregation. Some of the angels were just sitting quietly, Others were praying. Others seemed to be singing. One was kneeling down next to a baby. He was speaking to the child, but I could not hear what he was saying. It appeared that the child was fully aware of his presence as the child's eyes were fixed upon him. I could see another angel standing next to an older lady who recently lost her husband to cancer. Though I could not hear what he was saying, I could see the look of peace washing over her face. There was a man sitting in the back row who looked to be asleep. But upon a closer look, I could see his lips moving in silent prayer. And sitting beside him was yet another of these angels. It appeared as though the angel was helping the man by telling him the correct words to pray. It was then that I noticed that all the angels seemed to be connected to a different-looking being. This is one more like a man than the others. He also seemed to be in control, as the others were going to him and he would point out whom to go to next. Then I knew this was Jesus. Even from the back, I could see the holes in his hands, the ones where the nails once were, and the scars on his brow from the crown of thorns. I could see that Jesus was looking at me. It must have been his will to show me this sight. I just then happened to notice that I could not speak or move. I was awestruck. It was at this moment that Jesus pointed, and that is when I saw the other angels. But there was something different about them. They did not light up from the inside like the first group. It was as if their light had gone out. I had not seen them before, as they were not as easy to see as the angels of light. They too were going up to some of the people, slowly, as if not to be detected. They also appeared as if they were quietly whispering in their ears. Jesus looked at me and said, "I give you ears to hear." I was now able to hear some of the conversations that were taking place between these dark angels and the people. One was saying to a smart-looking gentleman, "What are you doing here? If people knew the real you, they would throw you out." Another was saying to a teenager, "They can tell. They know you're pregnant and unwed. They are talking about you behind your back. You should not come back." There was one of these dark beings next to a good friend of mine, someone who I loved dearly. It said to him, "You know no one loves you at all. They just pretend to love you. You should end it. No one will miss you anyways." After a while, the minister stepped down from the pulpit and the band took their place on the stage. The band started to play and the congregation started to sing. As more and more people started singing, the light of the angel started to get brighter. Now the congregation was standing. I could see that some of the people actually had light coming from them as well. Some people were emitting a lot of light, others not so much. And sadly, some were just like the second set of angels I saw, dark. I then noticed that the sound within the room had changed as well. As the light got brighter, the dark angels started to groan and they moved away, and eventually could be seen just standing off in the distance. They appeared to be waiting for something. Once they moved off, all I could hear was the glorious voices of the angels of light. But yet, I noticed that it was not that only what I was hearing. I was hearing a mixture of the human voices being amplified and enhanced by the angels. As the last song was being sung, I heard a voice next to me. I was now able to turn, and there stood Jesus with his arms outstretched to me and his nail-scarred hands clearly visible. And he said to me, "I have given you this gift of sight and sound for a short time, to see and hear the battle that ranges between the Almighty God and the dominions of evil. Now go, write the story so that all can see and hear it.